Hello, hello. This is JT and welcome to my podcast. It's Just a Belief. Today, we're going to talk about how do we start believing that we are not good enough. Before we do so and deep dive into the not good enough world, of course, I invite you to sign up to my website, pinocoach.ca, so you get the latest invitation and free events.
She lives in the wonderful world of the state of hypnosis and finds hidden gems in your subconscious mind. She laughs, she loves, she breathes, goes deep, transforms, transitions, and laughs again. More than anything, she knows that it's just a belief.
This week, something fantastic happened. We welcome my step-grandson, I should say. It gets so tricky, right? How do we call ourselves when we're not blood, biological mother? We're not the mother at all. We were the stepmother for, you know, years. And now grandchilds are coming. And we're no longer in that relationship, but we still have tight bonds and still consider human beings and this family as my family, right? So now that the terminology has been set up out there, there's always sensitivity, right? You want to say it right. You want to portray the emotion, how it really feels inside. And at the same time, you want to be respectful of everybody that's involved in the family. It's something, right? I'm sure all the stepmothers, fathers, step whatever, have juggled with this too, right? The label, who are you, right? When you are a stepmother, father, and then eventually things happen. In my case, I'm no longer in the relationship with the father, but I've stayed very, very, very close to the children. And now that they have children, I'm kind of a step-grandmother and I have a step-grandson. I hope that sounds right. Okay. So all this brought me to, I was out there at the kids' house and I was watching the little Mylan that just arrived in his cushion. And it was such a blissful moment. It was such a moment where I felt out of time, just caressing his little arms. And you know how they can hold fingers? Like a couple days and they're out there, right, gripping at your fingers. And I felt really good. And then it crossed my mind, actually, really, really seriously, how I really wanted him to feel enough, to feel that he is enough and lovable for the rest of his life, that it never doubts that, that it's always something that is a certitude, an absolute certitude. And I know this is something that can be fostered, but I also know that life throws things at people and you can never be shielded against starting to think one day that you're not good enough. And that's the point I want to make. Yes, there are things parents can do to really help kids feel good enough, wanted, and all this. But then there is school, there is friends, there is kids, there is work, there is life, right? And it's never about the event itself. It's always about how we interpret the event, what kind of interpretation we give to the event. And of course, when we have a solid base and solid self-esteem, more likely we'll be better tooled and equipped to deal with what comes our way. But I really, really wanted to talk about it today. So I've talked about it before, as this has been probably the belief that took me the longest to change and to adopt. And it was a very slowly, steady, steep, sometimes very flat journey into acquiring this belief. And it's still not perfect. There are still days where I don't feel good enough. There are still days where I struggle with it. And the difference with before is now I catch myself, I see it, and I reframe myself quite rapidly. Or sometimes I just sit in the moment. Okay, Jeanlin, you don't feel good enough today. Okay, just see how it feels. See, it's gone. You are good enough. You are enough. So one thing I use a lot with my clients is telling them to imagine that they are at the time of birth in that nursery and that there's like 30 kids, you know. I know there's never 30s, but let's say there's 30, just for the story, that are being born the same day or a couple of days before, you know, and just the kids are there. And you look at all those babies, and I say, you know, look at the babies at the nursery that were born about the same time as you. What do you think of those babies, right? And we're like, oh, they're cute, they're nice, wow, we just want to cuddle, or wow, you know, all those kids, or I'm indifferent, whatever. But do you think they're all lovable? Yes, of course. Do you think that one of them would not be lovable? Do you think one of them would not be enough? How would that be so? And most likely, people will end up realizing that, you know, upon birth, upon coming onto this world, we are already enough and we are lovable. And it's after that we stop believing in it, or we move away from that belief, or we adopt new beliefs just because of life. Again, I'm not one who wants to always blame parents. I know parents do the best they can. Although I must say that when people do the work under hypnosis and they do a lot of work with their subconscious mind, and they go back to times when they acquired beliefs when they were younger, they often say, wow, my parenting has totally changed because now I can really put myself into my child's shoes and I understand what it is to be a child again. And this is something we lose sight of course, being an adult, right? So how could this happen? I thought I would give you a few scenarios. How could this happen? Of things that I've seen in my practice. Most likely, you know, early ages, I hear a lot about not being present. I'm alone and, you know, I scream, nobody comes. I'm alone. I want to be with my parents. Nobody comes. People are having fun in the other room. I hear that is a really, really interesting scene that people get a lot. Like I'm in my crib and then people are having fun in the other room, and here I am alone and I'm crying and nobody comes and see me, takes care of me. It might all have happened, right, to all of us, I'm sure, or many of us. And it doesn't mean that we acquired the belief that we were not good enough or not lovable. But it happened that, you know, sometimes some of my clients, that will be something that they will bring up as a moment where they started to believe that they were not good enough or not lovable. Then things goes on, you know, and then it's all about the walking and talking and sometimes being slow, slower than expected, and then being pushed into doing activities or stuff that kids don't want to do, and then feeling that if they don't do it, they won't get the love, right? So I'm not lovable as I am. I need to do something. I need to perform something. I need to be good in sport or be good in school, or I need to play piano, or I need to do this and that to be lovable or to get the love and the attention. And then I'm not good enough for the teacher, and then I'm not good enough for the class, and then I don't know all the words. I don't remember. I have a blank, so I'm not good enough. I've had a lot of people being stressed to learn, being said, oh, you need to learn, you need to learn. How come you don't know it? How come you don't know it? How come you don't know it? Inducing a lot of stress into learning times, lessons at night, again, feeling not good enough. Kids being bullied, that really leaves a big imprint in people. Very, very big imprints. I've been bullied, and I know many of us have been bullied. It's quite a common thing, actually. And that feeling, right, of being not good enough for the group, or not being smart enough for the group, or too smart for the group, or not being enough for this, or and not being accepted, not being lovable, right? And then the bar, you know, when the bar is always higher. I'll hear a lot, oh, you got 85%. If you would have studied, you would have had 100%. It's not good enough, right? Oh, you were second. Oh, you were first. But all the ones that won were very slow, or they're younger than you. You're taller, it's normal. You're older, it's normal. I'm giving you a few examples, right? And then siblings, right? As well, as I said, kids in school, teachers, lots of scenes with teachers being humiliated in school. So, you know, I'm not saying that necessarily all these events are, you know, will create someone to stop believing that they're good enough or that they're lovable. But those are things that we have seen, and some repetitive kind of situations that we live early on at an early age, right? And then it's the accumulation of interpretation of the event, because some people had the same thing and they didn't feel that at all because they had a solid base or self-esteem that was already well established or installed, or simply they just didn't record it that way. So I wanted to talk about it again, because when that comes up, you know, we forget that when we were, you know, into this world first and foremost, we were already at the get-go lovable. We were at the get-go, we were good enough. And then things happened and it challenged us and we kind of lost sight of it. But it's very easy, actually easier than what it seemed. And again, you may say, well, that's contradictory. You said it took you a while. Yeah, it took me a while, but it's easy. It's not something hard. There's the discipline of really listening to the recordings about being good enough, but also writing it everywhere. I wrote "I am enough" on my mirror in my bathroom's mirror for a good year, seeing it every day on my phone, and it kind of recorded. And I remember the first time I started doing things unexpectedly that made me realize that I was enough. It was like a holiday. It was like a celebration. It was a big thing. I was very, very happy. In fact, it happened to one of my clients this week who sent me a WhatsApp saying, "Hey, Jenilyn, a situation happened in my life and I reacted just like a person that is enough. I felt I was so good enough. I was so enough. I was so lovable. I felt I had the choice. I felt so good about myself." And that was very unexpected. I never thought I would react that way. This is when I really saw and realized that I have integrated, that I am enough. Believe me, it feels good. It feels really, really good to feel enough, to reconnect to that truth, basically. There's nothing new. It's just reconnecting to this truth of who we are to start with, but that we forget along the way, right? Human interactions, life events. Again, I'm not the one of throwing rocks at parents or throwing rocks at teachers. And yes, there are better ones than others. But the reality is when you're conscious of it and you make the effort of recognizing that there's a slippery road and it's easy to get there and it's easy to compare and it's easy to sometimes make somebody feel not good enough, even not wanting really that, but it may happen. So if it does happen, if you are there, if you are in that stage, if you compare yourself, if you, when you look at others, you can see their strengths and see how great they are and skillful they are and feel good about it because you can recognize your own skill set and your own talent. That's a good, healthy way into feeling good enough. When you can make healthy boundaries, put together, you know, healthy boundaries with people, this is when you have that strong sense of being good enough. That's another indication, right? Another indication will be when you're not so much worried about what people will think of you. And it's not like I don't care, I do what I want, but it's not, you're not constantly worrying that you know, what you're doing is not good enough, and then always thinking after the fact, if what you've done, said, and you know, talked about was good enough. You have that sense that you've done what you needed to do, and you did it right. And it may not be perfect. I'm not about perfection. I'm far from perfection. And people, I found it's an extreme burden try to be perfect, which is first impossible, and second, it is a big, big, big sign that you don't feel good enough, right? So it needs to be perfect and more perfect and more perfect because you never feel really good enough. And sometimes it's because the bar was set high and higher and the goalpost was always moving. So whenever you would reach the good enough, then it would be pushed again a bit further. So I hope this helped you, and I hope you can really feel in my voice how I long for everybody to experience consciously the I am enough, I'm lovable feeling. It's one thing to have it inside of you, but it's another thing to realize it and to see it and to experience it. The day you're out there setting a boundary, the day you're out there praising other people or receiving praise very naturally, the day you speak up, the day you just take a decision, go into action, or just do something you thought you would never be able to do before, very naturally, with ease, like if it was always there, because in fact it was always there. The experience is really, really, really blissful. It's amazing. And I wish, really, really wish it for all of you. So voila, this was a very short podcast today. The most important to me is that you remember and you try to picture that you were born already enough, you're born lovable, and you can absolutely reconnect to that. And you can absolutely be, feel this lovable enough person that you always have been, and you can always be it and feel it if you want to. So voila, this is JT. And I encourage you to sign up to my website. I encourage you also to book a 30-minute call if you don't feel good enough and you want to talk about it and see if some work could be helpful for you. Until next time, as you know, it's just a belief.